good to see you all. Good morning once again. My name is Toby, the lead pastor here at Orange Coast Church, and wow, it's an exciting morning because we open up a new message series called Belong. We all belong to something, and we get to belong together into the family of God. And I don't know if you saw the video, it has some cool, you know, effects going on, but you know, I am so excited for this new series because I want all of us to belong together. But the reason, another reason why I'm so excited is I get to share you my favorite toy. You know what these are? These are Transformers. These are my ultimate favorite toy in all my life. Right? Come on, bring it, bring it. I mean, this is called Optimus Prime. Now, watch this, right? It transforms to, it was a vehicle. Now it's a robot. Boom. This was my ultimate favorite toy. But this is my son. I had to borrow from him. But, you know, every time I ask my son, hey, do you want a toy? It's like, if it's Transformers, I get it for you. Because, you know, I like to play with it too. And then this was a gift that my friend gave my son. And he's like, and I got this. And the bottom of my heart was like, yes, I get to play. You know, this is little, you know, it's pretty bulky, but these days there's like a lot of sophisticated ones. Back in the days that I grew up, you know, it was pretty bulky, but these days the joints and all that is really, really amazing, and I just love these Transformer toys. These days the movies are like so wild, so I don't follow all of them, but I just love the toys. And I don't know if you know about Transformers, but there's two sides to these Transformers. There's one is Autobots. These are the good guys, right? What's the other one? Oh, come on. Decepticons, okay? These are the bad guys. And Autobots, which is this, led by the ultimate leader, Optimus Prime, okay? Now, these are the Autobots, and you see this right here. That's the sign of an Autobot. So every Autobot has that emblem right there, and it is, and they fight against, they protect the Earth from the Decepticons. And the reason why I mention all that is you and I are all Transformers. You realize? Because we've been transformed by the love of Jesus. Amen? Amen? I mean, our life is different now. Our values are different. It has eternal impact in our lives. We've been changed by the love of Jesus Christ. And that's why I believe we are Transformers. You know, and we belong to these God's family. We're, in a way, Autobots. Right? Because Jesus gave us this identity, and we are Team Jesus. We all are a Team Jesus. When you believe in His resurrection and His salvation, that is together. We belong to God's family. This series called Belong, it talks about what it means to belong to God's family, to belong to Team Jesus. So today, we're going to open up by talking about this general picture. What does it mean to belong to God's family, the body of Christ right here, the capital C church, all over the world? But then in a couple weeks, next week is Mother's Day, but after that, we're going to talk about what does it mean to belong to the Free Methodist Church, the denomination that we belong to. And it is so rich and so, it's timely right now for us to really talk about what does it mean to belong to this family. And then lastly, at the end of this month, we're going to talk about what does it mean to belong to this church, Orange Coast. What is our values? What does our future look like together? And this also serves as our membership series. I never liked the word membership in churches because I grew up in thinking, they have membership to like try to tie you up and says, oh, you're mine now. But you know, I was so wrong. As I grew up and I became a pastor, membership is so important because, of course, if we belong together, it's good to know our heritage. It's good to know our values. It's good to know our roots. So that's why I am so excited to share in this series called The Belong about our membership. And towards the end of this month, we're going to be passing out like this membership guideline. And you could take it. And then if you read it through and this is what I want to belong to. Then if you've never been a member, then this could be your opportunity to be part of this family together. But for some of you, you've been a member for a while. It's time to, let's refresh this together so that we are all on the same page. But that decision of being a member is completely, completely up to you. And if you ever have to go and to move to another church or new to a new place, then, you know, the membership, you're free to go. I mean, it's never to hold you here. It is for us to know who we are. And that's, I think, it is very, very timely for us. So we belong to this capital C church, the God's family, God's church. So where did this all begin? This movement that God started, of course, it starts with Jesus Christ. So when he was living and he was with his disciples, he kept telling them, okay, one day I won't be with you. And the Holy Spirit will come. And he will be, Holy Spirit is your helper, your advocate. Remember last time we talked about he is the oil in our lamp that we need to have in order for us to wait for the coming back of Jesus. See, he said that to his disciples and his people. And they were like, Jesus, what you talking about? We don't need no spirit. We got you. You're our homie. We don't need a spirit. They didn't understand about this great plan of Jesus. But what happened was Jesus died on the cross. He took all our sins. And then he resurrected. He ascended, and then he came before and he taught with them a little bit. And then eventually he ascended to heaven. We all know that story. But then what happened was on the day of Pentecost, which this year is happening May 20th, is that the Holy Spirit came down. Holy Spirit empowered them. And then we know in Acts 1:8, we read this last time. Why did the Spirit come? It says in Acts 1:8, it is for you to be witnesses of my love. This is Jesus speaking witnesses for my love. Not just your local neighbors, local territory, but beyond into the world out there, to the ends of the earth, Jesus said. So it is a given, the Holy Spirit is given for us to be witnesses for him. In our language here at Orange Coast Church, it is for us to overflow within to the world that we live in. So that is the beginning of the church. The disciples, the apostles, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Excuse me for a second. You guys, is it okay if we move you to the back? I think that the voice is, sorry, it's, yeah. So if you could tone it down a little bit, I'm sorry, okay? But I think it's like dual voice effect. So anyways, sorry about that. Hey, so the Holy Spirit came down and the church began. And because they were filled with it, the movement just took off. It exploded. It went to areas. The people carried the gospel of Jesus to Asia, to Europe, and then eventually reached us. I mean, it is the work of the Spirit, and it just flourished. But always at the middle of this movement of church is the teaching of Jesus, the Word of God. This is actually upside down, but inside it's like this. So anyways, I just found this in my office, and I'm like, oh, this is a rare version. Anyways, so I'm like, I'll take it. Anyways, I didn't mean to do that. But, you know, at the center of all these movement is the Word of God. The teaching of Jesus is always at the center, and that is the essential. And let's read together what, you know, so we gather at church to open up our week through the Word of God. I hope you open up your day with the Word of God because that becomes the center of your life. But today we read together from Acts chapter 2, verse 42. I'm going to read this for you, but it'll also be on the screen as well. So let me read this. It says, this is the beginning of the church, also known as the early church. And look what they did. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possession to give to anyone who had need. And I want to read this together with you. Can we read this together? It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I mean, it's just this beautiful picture that we as church always strive for this. I mean, this is the community that we want to be. And as we said, they devoted themselves to the teaching, the apostle. These apostles were the eyewitnesses of Jesus. They were in hand with Jesus. They get to teach what Jesus told them. And that Word of God was at the center of that teaching. And then it says they devoted to fellowship. What is fellowship? It's this. Koinonia. It's the gathering of believers. It's the community. So as a community, what did they do? It's interesting. And then we look at it, at those verses, and we get to see what they do, what they did. They ate together. We love doing that. And we do that too here. But not just in the regular meals together, but they held communions together. Communion is breaking of bread and drinking of the wine to remember what Jesus did on the cross, exactly what we're going to do today, later on, right here. We have this prepared. And they did that. Because the moment Jesus ascended, you know, because human beings are forgetful, so we kind of forget what Jesus did. So every time they met, they ate, oh, this is exactly what Jesus did. He had to die for my sin. So it humbled them. It brought them to the center by remembering through the communion service. And they prayed. They prayed. That's why we pray, because prayer unites us. And prayer is what we do. That's why prayer requests are so important. We want to hear it every time. If you ever have it, we always want to have an open place, open space for prayer at the end of the service. That's why we pray. And then what happened in this community was miracles took place, signs and wonders performed by the apostles, performed by one another. The Spirit of God was filling them. But what I don't want us to do is to separate us from them. It's not that this happened just 2,000 years ago when the Spirit came. No, the Spirit is alive today too. And these things within each other, it will happen. We bring the Spirit, we unite together and in unity. And these things will happen. And I don't want us to remove any bit from that time. And then what happened was they shared everything. These positions, what they owned. And how I interpret this is whenever there was people hurting, or when there are people sacrificing, people stepped up, right? And they were there together, and there's this unity, this beautiful community. And I love what they did. They met to worship in the temple courts, just like us, met together in the house of the Lord. But then they also met in their homes afterwards and had meal together. In fact, today, if you need a place to go, you could go to Caroline's house. They are doing this pop-up shop for Heavenly Treasures. I'm commercial time, okay? But if you need a place to go, you could go there, and they meet together in a smaller unit. But what I'm... Okay, so that's good.
Yeah, good.
Okay, Heavenly Treasure. Okay, but you know, what I mean is they met in small groups. They met, and they were this intimate group. And that's what gave them amazing growth. Because they always met together, not just at the temple courts, but in their homes. And that's what we want to strive for here at Orange Coast. We want to really enrich our small group ministry. That's going to happen during the summertime, but we're going to get to that. But that was key for their fellowship. I love this in verse 46. It says, they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And I love what it says in verse 47. They praised God with that sincere, glad heart. They praised God together. What happened was God blessed them. God answered them. And they were filled with God's favor. And there was just joy. And the best part about this was people were getting saved every single day. I mean, new people encountered Jesus every single day because of that community. And that unity within the community. See, we can't spell community without unity. And there was that unity there that was just unlike anything else in the world. And people were drawn to that. And that's Orange Coast Church. That's how we make an impact in this world. When we come into unity, we humble ourselves and we provide and we help and support and share with one another. And we praise together. We eat together. We pray and praise. Did I say praise? I mean, we do that together. And that's how we make an impact. Do you want to have a blessed life that is rich with God's joy? Join this community. And that's how we can live together, to grow together. In unity, and we will enjoy God's favor together. And you know, it was so absolutely necessary for them to do that, to be tight as one body of Christ. Reason why it was there was extreme persecution. Roman Empire was not happy for this movement that was brewing up, and it was impacting lives everywhere. People were so committed to Jesus, and the Roman Empire was like, who the heck is that? Who the heck is Jesus? So they started persecute all these Christians. So that's why they had to stick together all the more. But you know, once again, don't remove ourselves from that era, because the persecution is still here. It is all over the world. Christians are being killed every moment because of their faith. But don't even remove us from that, because suddenly there's silent assassins happening in this community, in Orange County, in your neighborhood, because of all the values that is being degrading and all the things that is capturing the attention of our next generation in the internet, on the news, and everywhere. It is filling our communities. And people were drawn to these things of the world rather than seeking unity in Jesus. I mean, we are under heavy persecution right here, right now. Please don't remove yourselves from what's happening in Acts. So that's why we come together. We need this community, because you know what? We were never created to be alone. That's right. We were not. That is the design of God, for us to be in community. I want you to think about something. Think of the darkest moments of your life. Just imagine, just look back in your life, maybe recently, maybe back in the day. When was the toughest, darkest times that you've experienced? I have a feeling that those are times where you felt like there was no sense of strong community. I feel that. I was there. You know, I had this amazing community here when I was in college. I was the Japanese youth leader, and we had this amazing, amazing community. And I left, and I had a beautiful girlfriend named Hosanna, who's my wife today. But then, you know, I had to leave everything to go to Japan and work for a company. And it was just the darkest 3 months of my life was during that time, because there was this pressure in my work. You know, and you can't really say no in Japanese companies, especially when you just begin. There was pressure to perform. There was extreme misunderstanding, because I, you know, even though I looked Japanese, I wasn't. I was an American person in their company, and I stood out. It was just, there's this weird misunderstanding, and even there was this false accusation against me, and I was so timid to not even just stand up for it. So I just kept on getting the beating every day, day after day. And it felt like 3 months. I don't know if you know this, but when you're in those extreme situations where things are not looking up, I'm praying and praying, and it felt like there's no answer. I look back, and it's only 3 months, but when you're living in that, it feels like forever. There's not ending. I know some of you probably feel me on that. And it was tough, because I didn't have any strong community around me. But God miraculously pulled me out of that situation and placed me in a completely new environment that was totally something that I did not expect. But here I was in a community where my father, or my Hosanna's parents were there. There was this church community that I was able to belong to. There was a co-worker within my company that we got along, and that changed everything. The difference maker was a community that accepted me, but also looked after me. You know, they wanted the best interest. So sometimes they would tell, you know, there's an accountability. But that is the difference maker in my life. And I want to turn to you. Do you have a community? Maybe today you're longing for a strong sense of community, because it's always good to belong. Because we were made to be community, in community. But also it's true that where we belong defines who we are. It will give us an identity. And not all communities in this world are healthy. Sometimes when you know, obviously you look at your kids or even you growing up, when you hang out with the wrong crowd, you know, that affects you. That does define who you are. So it's be careful. You have to be very mindful of what community we belong to. And communities can be unhealthy. It could be messy. And Christian communities are no exception. We cannot justify the dark history that we as Christianity have. I mean, there were times where we hurt people in the name of Jesus. I mean, it's unfortunate, but that has happened. There's been divisiveness. There's been hurts. So as Christian family, as Christian community, we always have to be careful, to be mindful about unity. Unity is hard because we all got baggages, right? We all got things that we bring. You know, you just heard Duff and Gary sing today. I called them the baggage brothers because duffel bag, duffel. And Gary's last name is Carry-On. So they're the baggage brothers. And you know, it's actually the testament to God because even with all these baggages, God used them to praise God, you know? So, I mean, that's a testament to all of us. Even with all the baggage we have, we get to be used by God. And that's not just them, not these baggage brothers, but we, too, can be used by God if we just come sincerely before God. It says, use me, even with my baggages. But, you know, there's misunderstandings in life. There's miscommunications. There's difference of values, especially looking in this room. There's so many different cultures represented, which I love, but that could get messy at times. What's normal for one person is not for the other. But also our egos, our pride, those are unity killers. All of those things will affect the unity of a community. So what do we do? Do we stop meeting? That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, don't stop meeting together. So what do? We have to look at the emblem on our bodies, on us. You know this guy? Remember? The moment you accept Jesus as your Savior, he has given you a mark of Jesus. I mean, he has given you an emblem that says you are an Autobot. No, sorry, Team Jesus, right? It's somewhere in you. It's there. And you know what? Despite all the differences we got, this is what unites us. This is something that we all have in common. When you become part of God's family, that emblem is in you. So we have to remember that. Today, we will remember that because of his sacrifice that he made on the cross. He has given us a new identity. Because of what he has done, he died for you so that you could see beyond your differences and come to unity, to come humble yourself by the grace of God. Because then when you look to Jesus and look all he had done, we all remember we cannot boast of anything about ourselves. It is only by the grace of God we've been forgiven. Wow, that's a uniting factor that can make us special community for God. You know, the reason why I got into these Transformer toys was at the age of 6, I was hospitalized with a very serious illness. At that time, I didn't know how severe it was, but I was diagnosed with a condition called juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. And I didn't know that. But it was actually serious enough that I was probably going to live my life probably in a wheelchair. I didn't know that. But I was in this hospital with a bunch of other kids. I was at the Children's Hospital of Tokyo. I was 6 years old, and I was in this room. And that illness never bothered me because I didn't know that. And I had a community, and I had a grandma who just kept buying me toys. I'm like, heck yeah, it's good to get sick, you know? But I think it was because she knew how serious it was, and I didn't know. But she just, like, my collection just grew and grew, and my comic book collection grew. I'm like, yeah. It was cool. Well, that's how I get into this Transformer toy. But what I want to say is that I had a community. I had these kids with, I think it was 6 or 8 beds, and we were tight. Some were more serious than the others. Some were very sick. There was a guy who was super skinny. There was a guy who was terminal illness as a kid. And it was, but nothing bothered us because we were this community that we ate together, we laughed together, we played together. Sometimes we fought, but we would always make up because we were this tight group. And that was what made it different. Yeah, the toy helped, but you know, it was that community that it was so cool. But you know, I see us like that. We're in this room. We all got our baggages. We all somehow, some way, we're all messed up. You know, we got issues. But we're in this room because of Jesus Christ. He came for the sick, not for the righteous. And he came to be with us. And because we know that, we get to be okay in this room together, knowing that we got some issues, But we got Jesus, who is our healer, who is our connector, who is our bridge, who is what we connect us. Because we know that, we've been transformed. And we know that even though we got some issue, we are Team Jesus. We are Autobots, right? We're Transformers, and we're fighting against the Decepticons of the world. There's a lot of deceptions in the world. People that are not in the hospital, they're outside in the parking lot. Just kind of like imagine the story that Phil told last week. They're in the parking lot. They don't even know that there is a healer. They're just wandering with the illness that's going to eventually kill them. Right? I mean, they don't know how serious the illness is. There is also another deception. People, some of them think they could heal themselves. They'll be all right. I could take care of myself. They don't see a need for a healer. They don't see a need for a savior. And that's a deception that is going on around the world. So what are we going to do? Who are we going to invite to belong to this family of God? Who are we going to spend time and says invite them continuously? Maybe they reject you once. We hate rejections. We hate to be rejected. But let's keep inviting them because we know how important it is to belong to God's family. And we're not perfect. And sometimes when they see us, they're like, well, I don't want to belong to that. But, you know, it is beyond us. It is Jesus what unites us together. And I'm just going to finish with the last story. As I was in the hospital at 6 years old, at that time, my kindergarten taught me in Japan, Jesus loves you. So I believed. And they said, if you pray to Jesus, he'll hear your prayer. And I told my mom, there's this Jesus. And I'm sorry, mom, I love him more than you. And my mom was like, what? What is this Jesus? But then I kept praying. And some of you know this story, but I kept praying and praying. And I cut an origami paper and pasted that cross on top of my bed in that room. And where everybody's like, what is he doing? Because I prayed every day. Hey, Jesus, would you take care of me? Would you heal me? And long story short, I got healed. I had a symptom of measles. And, you know, that's normal for a kid. And, you know, I was put in a way into this isolated room, and I hated that because I had my homies, right? But I was like over here, I hated it. But when the measles was gone, my arthritis was healed. Like, the doctor was like, what? But I did not, well, I wasn't amazed at all. I was like, of course. I pray to Jesus. What are you talking about? Right? Yeah, I mean, that's all him. It's all him. And, you know, I believe that made an impact in that room. I'm sure those kids were like, whoa, what is this Jesus? What is that cross? But, you know, it made an impact in another person's life. Mm-hmm. It made an impact in my mom's life. Through that, she accepted Jesus. Wow. Because God gave me the favor. And just like the story in Acts, God added to the number to who been saved. And my mother was saved. And you know her. And I'm sure she's impacted some of your life too. But it is just that story of that testimony of that healing that made her say, wow, I wanna believe in that. Maybe today you need a miracle in life. Maybe you need healing in life. Maybe there's a need for unity in your life, in your family, in your community. We have a special opportunity today to come before Jesus in communion. Would you give that up to him today? In your prayer, would you give that up to him today? He is the healer. He is the miracle maker. He is the one who is our answer. And he's the reason why we gather as church. So we pray, we praise, we eat together, we grow together. Let's thank God today for that. So here's a weekly reflection or a weekly challenge today. So it's on the screen if you want to pull out your phones. It'll be on this, on our website as well. So this is something that I want us to do this week. So continue to read Acts 2:42. But also Acts 4:27 as well. This is this picture of this God's community that is so rich. And I want to ask you, what strikes you about that community and why? Why does that attract you? So think about that, to know more of him. And then let's grow together. Are you in a community to grow in your faith? If not, would you like to join a small group together? Would you like to start one? Talk to me. Talk to Pastor Phil. Let's do something together so that we could continue to grow in our faith. But if you are already in a group, this is important. who will you invite to that group so that you can experience growth together? And lastly, overflow. Be an agent for unity this week. Ask Holy Spirit to help you, and He will. So those are weekly challenges that we want you to take home with today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you have done on the cross. Thank you for what you have done to make us whole again. Even though we were broken, you completely healed us and you made us like you. So God, I pray continuously that we could be a church that could unite together under that one thing of the grace of Jesus, because we have nothing to boast except for you. So God, help us to unite. Help us to connect. Help us to be a space where people outside in this world could say, wow, that is unbelievable. In a situation where we could just say, forget it. Let's just stop meeting. Let's be over with. We have a reason to meet. We have a reason to come together because it is for you, your son Jesus, that died for us, but also resurrected to give us new life. It gives us hope, and that is what we have in common. So Lord, would you use us for agents for change and unity around this world? But make us, help us, this community called Orange Coast Church, to be a place that has been filled with the Spirit, just like the church that we just read in Acts. And I know you're going to do that, because that is the future we have in you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.